Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Churros y Tacticas podcast. This is Monday. Diego is shaking his head because the intro sucked, but it sucked intentionally. I told you, man. I told you so many times. We can't roll the R every single podcast on the intro because then when something really, really big goes down, then the standards are too high. My lung capacity for rolling R's is only so much. I need to save it for like when Real Madrid wins the Clasico or something really bad happens at Barcelona.
I rolled the R's off longer, louder than you when Messi left on the last podcast where we discussed Messi for, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, that's because we all know how you really feel about Messi deep down.
Don't say that. That's not true. Don't even go there.
Should have probably sorted this out before we hit record, but your gain is a little bit loud. I don't know if you can turn that down a little bit, but or a little bit further away from the microphone. So today actually feels a little bit, I don't know if normal is the word. There's some normalcy to it because it's Monday. It feels like 2018 because there was fans in the stadium and we're just on a regular Monday talking about the happenings of La Liga that, you know, over the past weekend or so. And, you know, we were trying to figure out who does the intro. Technically speaking, Real Madrid are higher in the standings because of goal difference and they're first in the league. So I suppose I took it. And also Laporta's press conference today, which I didn't even know about until I woke up. And obviously because of the time difference, it was already done. Basically, by the time I woke up, I think I checked Twitter. I read all of it. I was like, man, this is some crazy stuff. So Laporta took a machine gun to Bartomeu, sold whatever was left of it, and was like, this is all your fault. This is reason number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and all the way to 100 why you sucked and the previous regime sucked. And now we have to dig ourselves a hole. But don't worry, because we are the supermen here and we are going to lift ourselves out of this financial mess, even if it's a long-term strategy. But I guess that's another reason for me to do the intro. So Diego, happy Monday.
Happy Monday, my friend. It is Monday. And it's still full-on summer here. Temperatures are scorchingly hot. A lot happening over in La Liga, of course. I'm very happy for La Liga to have started once again. It is just one game in, but it does give you that sense of normalcy. Despite the fact that, like I said, we're still in summer. So it still feels sort of like, you know, vacation summer mode, sort of the end of the preseason. Now, obviously, La Liga has started, but kids are still on holiday. Work is still, you know, it's very busy. Work is very busy. But here we are, my friend. We're sticking to our usual schedule, Monday with the churros for everybody to listen in. Hope everybody's doing good, staying healthy, staying happy, and enjoying the football that has been back on.
Should we start with Laporta press conference? I know because this is not patron edition, maybe you can't go all in on this subject. But because it's about the previous regime and stuff, mostly, we can talk about it a little bit. I mean, I I got to tell you, by the time, and I didn't watch it, but I read every single thing he said, including the part at the end where he answers questions. I even read all those answers. And I came away with it thinking, like, I think I would trust this guy to bring this club out of this mess. And that's my honest feeling. You know, obviously, I have no dog in this fight. I don't care if Laporta succeeds or not. I really don't care at all. But I felt like all of his points made sense. I really feel like Bartomeu has no business writing the letter he did. I don't even know where he wrote it from. I honestly thought he was in jail somewhere. Maybe he sent the memo out. Maybe he has some good Wi-Fi in his prison cell. Maybe he is at home. I don't know. I honestly thought he was in jail. That's what I think of the job he's done. But I after going through all of that,
Bartomeu is definitely not in prison. I'll tell you that. He's not in jail.
He's out having dancing. A churro downstairs.
Yes, he's out dancing. He was reported, I think it was today or yesterday, dancing beachside with a mysterious woman. And if you want to call it dancing, it was imagine Bartomeu dancing.
Was it like the, imagine shaking, Bartomeu the hips, shaking the hips?
Yes, yes. It was complete, like, you know, soccer dad dance. It was awful.
At least we have something in common.
A few days ago, he was seen having lunch with Santi Noya, who's of course the head. Don't know his exact role or his position, but he's the head, the director of Mundo Deportivo, and he was seen having lunch with him. So, you know, we can sit here and talk about Bartomeu all day. We've done plenty of that in the past. We can sit here and talk about, you know, Juan Laporta and what he will potentially do. It's in the beginning of his now, you know, his you call it regime. I want to find a different word for that, because I feel like we keep falling back to that word, and it's not the adequate one. His reign, or his reign, is also sounds so grandiose. I mean, his mandate, right? A president fulfills his mandate, his time, his years, whatever it is. Jump in here at any time, Keon. You're being very quiet.
I like to see you struggle through the words. You could call it, I don't know what you could call it, but it wasn't great. I mean, one of the things that you and I...
It wasn't great.
Just Bartomeu's whole stint.
That's an understatement, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things that Laporta said today, and that's something that you and I have talked about, like how the Neymar money was used. And, you know, obviously there were other things that Neymar was brought up in a couple different ways. One, because of the legal issues and the 16 million or whatever it was that Bartomeu claimed that they forgave Neymar for and all that stuff. But one of the things that Laporta said was like the way the Neymar money was used. It's like you have 222 million and just overnight, you just basically threw it into a fire pit and just set it ablaze in one night.
Correct.
So that was just one of the things. I mean, and that can be chalked up to incompetence. Like, okay, you made a mistake with a lot of money, but if it was just that, maybe it could be overlooked to some degree. But it's like when you go into a role from start to finish and just lay waste and make every single incorrect decision you can possibly make. I'm not like a conspiracy theorist, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if like 10 years from now, a book is released or a documentary is released. And it's like someone leaks that Florentino just hired Bartomeu. And it's like, okay. He's like, Bartomeu's like this, like 20-year-old kid, he's like, intelligent enough, but also very naive. And Florentino was like, from this day forth, we're going to train you. Okay. No one is, you're going to go under the radar. You're going to pretend you're a Kool-Aid for the next few decades. You're going to take these degrees and then
Trojan horse.
Yeah. The Trojan horse. That's a good word. So,
well, listen, let's get serious here for a second. You know, sorry to burst the bubble serious, here.
But okay. You didn't like my story. You didn't like my conspiracy.
It's too hot right now to talk about more conspiracy theories. We have enough. You know, there's the Barça Gate conspiracy. There's, I mean, if we really want to get into the Bartomeu discussion, which I thought I wasn't prepared for, honestly, I didn't know we were going to sit now and talk about the mandate of Bartomeu and the money that he spent so badly. I think we've beaten that one across the head too many times, and everybody's well aware of it. And for Laporta to have to even come out and defend himself, or defend the numbers rather. Look, in all honesty, I'll be honest, man. There were some things that I was curious about. I was curious about the 200 and some 20 million, I think it was, that companies and investment funds were willing to pay for Barça Corporate, which is, of course, the entity that owns the Barça licensing, Barça Studios, merchandising, and what else is it? Whatever the fourth was, the thing that Bartomeu, or Laporta rather, pointed out was it wasn't a guarantee that Barca were going to get the 20 plus million for that, because in and of itself, it's a deal that is complicated, seeing as the inertia, cohesion between these four entities are very different, and how they create revenue and how their business models are completely different. So this wasn't like, okay, an assured thing that we were going to get that money for it. Then there was obviously the Super League thing, which is also a hypothetical scenario where Barca would have ingresado, like would have received some income through that means, or even the league for that matter. The 270 million for the that was all a supposed hypothetical scenario. These are not for Bartomeu to bring up some of these points was they were just very weak. There were some points where I thought, okay, what happened with Barça corporate deal, and there was another one, and what was the other one? There was the Neymar case, the 16 million for the Neymar case, which that just sounded really weird. And Laporta's explanation, is a believable one, in the sense that it was just a lie. It was made up of thin air, and they only told one side of the coin, one side of the story. Anyway, it's where, like, do I think that in the grand scheme of things, do I think Laporta has the ability to reverse the situation around? Yes. Right now, what he announced today was, again, the announcement of the 500 million or so that will be coming in to restructure the debt, which is obviously money that we need. And give him some time. Give him some time. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of like he said, this money went just flying away, into salaries, into bad transfers, and now there's work to be done in order to restore this situation. And
Yeah.
see where Barca can get the money back from. Obviously, a lot has to do with the museum, a lot has to do with the Camp Nou, a lot has to do with the store, the physical stores. A lot of these things are massive revenue streams for Barca, and once things get back to normality, some sort of normality, it'll probably be a lot easier to conduct business and to go and make plans according to these strategic plans, and then all of those things done.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of clubs are banking on, right? Just going back to normal,
Right.
to, so that they can receive the revenues and get the stadiums full. You could afford to sit a little bit farther away from the mic still, by the way. There were times
All
where,
right.
yeah. I mean, I can tell that both of us would rather just talk about football. I will say, like, just before we move on to it, that you mentioned the 500 million that they've taken out for the loan. There were a couple of things I think worth also just talking about on this podcast really quickly. One is that when he first came into the club, they had to take 80 million loan immediately just to pay this pay just to get payroll.
Right.
And then he mentioned that they had to invest almost 2 million into the stadium because there were safety issues, and because they
Spy
did that,
Barça, yeah.
yeah,
The,
because
or
they
the,
did
excuse me,
that.
not Spy Barça, but the Camp Nou, yes.
Right. And because they did that, they were able to get fans in the stadium on open weekend. He said that. There was something else interesting that he said.
Yeah, there was the Estadi Johan Cruyff, which was supposed to have cost 2 million, and then it ended up costing 15 million. That
Yeah.
was the that was that was that one jumped out. That's a that was an eyebrow raiser, to say the least.
Yeah.
Stadium that was estimated 2 million euros ended up being 15 million. It's like, what?
There was a, I'm also not clear on this part, although I, from what I understand, so the whole salary cut thing, Piqué was, I mean, lauded as the hero of the weekend, right? Because of the salary cut. And then there were...
I have something to say about that.
Okay, great. The discussion on that was that, okay, Alba and Busquets, like these guys are the captains, why aren't they stepping up to the plate? And you know how I feel about, you know, players taking salary cuts. They shouldn't have to. But as from what I understand, like, and I think PK kind of confirmed this on the Twitch stream, but I'm not entirely clear on that, that the other captains will follow suit. But it's not, is it a pay cut? Or is it just that they're going to get it paid later? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think those details are public. If they are, there will just be rumors, I would imagine. Nothing has been confirmed. Otherwise, we would know, or I would know. So whether it's, 2 years and five, or if it's, you know, cut your salary from 60 to 30, just throwing out numbers here, but you get my drift. I don't know the details of that. What I will say is that, you know, what Piqué did is, I think, a great gesture. He's a man of the club, as Joan Laporta put it. And what I also think is that he's playing his cards very wisely. I'm not saying that this gesture isn't fully meant and heartfelt and in the good of the club, but we know, or at least we think we know, what Piqué's intentions are post-football career. And he has, you know, dabbled in many businesses still today, from the Davis Cup to the eFootball Pro and then some. But on his bucket list is also becoming president of Fútbol Club Barcelona. Now, call me maliciously thinking a schemer, whatever. But I think that Piqué with this is also thinking, you know, right now this is okay, I'm going to earn a bit less. This is not a guy that lives paycheck to paycheck. In fact, he never has. He comes from a very wealthy family, the Bernabeu family. The Piqué family are very that's old money, let's say. I think this is a good move for him. That aside, I just think that is a good move for him. From when come Piqué president, election time, you can say, look, even my time as a player, I was there. You guys know my commitment to this club. I took a goddamn pay cut. If he wasn't ready, you know, going to win the presidency when the next time that he will present himself, which whoever will go against him will have a very tough battle, if not a battle lost. I think that seriously works in his favor, as it should, as he should, you know, he should use it. So again, I'm not saying that this is purely strategic and then a PR move or a marketing move for later years down the line. I was just thinking on the way home, thinking, well, this could be a good move for him also politically, and why not? With regards to the other captains, look, again, I'll take Laporta and President Laporta's word for it. Says negotiations are going well with the other captains, and they will soon follow suit. Seems to be something going on with Jordi Alba, but you know, President Laporta, as he said, I'm sure that he will be seeing what you know the rest of the captains, and he will also soon. We will also soon reach an agreement. So I guess he's maybe the one that is being the toughest, or the one that is the least willing, or whatever it is. Not accusing anyone, just reporting.
Yeah, well, it's a great theory. I'm glad you brought up one theory to the table as well to balance mine. And you know, let's see, the 5-year outlook of Barcelona seems pretty interesting. I mean, I don't think, given your current generation, that it's good in terms of the youth. It's not terrible right now to just be focused on the youth. And then it's like, let's say in 5 years, if you guys can go back to the normalcy of the financial. You're just going back to the financial norms and being able to have healthy debt and be in a good situation. This is as Laporta reiterated many times, this is a temporary bad financial situation. So this weekend in La Liga, we have five teams tied on first place on 3 points. Valencia, Atletico, Barcelona, Sevilla, Real Madrid were the five teams who won their games. And then we had a bunch of draws. So I'd say this was an encouraging start for the top three in terms of like what we saw. Atletico, I think you got good performances from some people and then maybe not so good performances from others. We can get into that. Sevilla looked good. Valencia Getafe was a gong show, which they won. And Real Madrid and Barcelona, in these transition years that they're going through, both came away with pretty impressive victories. Barcelona, until Real Sociedad scored that free kick, or no, before that, who was it that scored for Real Sociedad the first goal? Either way, the 3-0, when they were up 3-0, they looked great. They looked dominant. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great performance. And then obviously by the end of it, it's like maybe not as encouraging, but either way, I would have said that Barcelona looked better than Real Madrid this weekend overall, if you ask me. So how did you feel watching Barcelona play? You must have been happy. You feel good. Memphis looks great. Talk us through that.
Yeah. Yeah, just quickly. The Lobete is the one that scored for Real Sociedad. He was actually making his debut for the team. He's a guy that grew up or came up in the Real Sociedad ranks and made his debut and scored on his, what was it, like his first touch as well. So, good little side story for him. What did I think? I thought that Barca played the first half, the first 45 minutes, leaking also into the second half, those initial, like, say, 5 minutes. I thought we're really good. We're really positive. Great pressing, great attitude. They were very... very eager, I think, to perform in front of the home crowd with fans and show off their talent and show that there's life after Messi. Let's not forget this was the first official match, competitive match, where Barca, you know, post-Messi, like a Messi-less Barca, so where Barca had to really prove themselves, I think, in front of the fans that have been enduring so much, as well as other fans, with the pandemic obviously included, but then all the other, the extra drama that has come with this time. To then play again in front of the home crowd, obviously, you know, we saw in the preseason already that fans, when they were came to the Johan Cruyff Stadium, were starting to pick their battles with certain players. You know, Umtiti being the target, Jordi Alba has been a target quite heavily, as well as Sergi Roberto, for that matter. Not less Sergio Busquets, less so. Maybe interesting to mention that he's the new team captain as well. So for this team to really come out guns blazing, and I think, yeah, play a very good perform or play a very good opening half, I thought it was very positive, very exciting to see. It did, you know, make everything sort of feel a little bit just less heavy and more optimistic towards the future. Let's not forget that Barca are still missing Ansu Fati, Pedri, or, you know, players that we have on the bench. I mean, give Pedri a break. That's I'm now moving into the second half, I think, where I wish certain changes were made. Some materialized, some others didn't. You know, Nico Gonzalez got his debut, obviously, but his changes were man for man, position for position, where, you know, I felt we didn't have to suffer again. We saw the Koeman of old, come into play when we were put up against the ropes with Oyarzabal, who was, you know, doing what he does. Such a skillful player. That free kick was magnificent. But even before, he had a dribble inside the Barca box, shot that got blocked. But, you know, you already start seeing signs of the danger that was coming for this Real Sociedad side that, in all honesty, I mean, I was expecting more from him as well. You know, I don't know if it was due to credit for Barca or also a little bit disappointment from Real Sociedad, you know, last season, were the team of the season in the first half, rather, or up there, let's say, with the permission, obviously, of Atletico de Madrid. But we played good football under Imanol Aguacil, and you would expect, you were expecting more from at the end. And they delivered that, but it came late. And obviously Barca had to suffer, I think, unnecessarily. You know, that especially the Memphis, the long for Memphis sub was kind of like, you know, that's not really what us culés want to see. And Pedri playing so many minutes, man, you know, give the Gavis, give the Puches some minutes, but give Pedri a little bit of a rest, especially when it's 3-0 already, you know, after, like, what was it, an hour, literally, right? I mean, Braithwaite scoring a Braithwaite, fantastic game from the Dane as well. Makes you wonder whether Barca really need a number nine like Koeman has been asking for, whether, you know, he cannot fulfill the job, seeing that we still have, again, Ansu Dembele coming back. We have Reymanay as well, who's there, just there, the top scorer of the preseason. Memphis super positive, man. I'm hoping that Madridistas are taking note, because he's there was somewhere I saw, and this is obviously a stretch, and it's one of those classic headlines that you see in Spanish newspapers, but I think it was Leo Memphis. It was Leo Memphis. And that's obviously, you know, we're not doing any justice to neither, or any favors neither, in the case of Memphis, by calling him Leo Memphis. But he's exciting, man. I like what I see from him, for sure. Great an assist already, like after 30 seconds, providing that assist to, or near assist, let's say, to Martin.
Right.
And great plays, you know, great link-up plays, great vision, eyes in the back of his head, great, you know, just and obviously a scorer and a facilitator, you know, providing Piqué. That was a great Piqué header, but it was all in that pass, you know. That pass was a beauty. So, yeah, exciting, good. Still a lot of work to be done. Let's see also if we get some more rotations going, I would say, in general. As for Real Madrid, unless you want to jump in here. Sorry, I don't want to.
Just that I was also really impressed with Memphis, and that was the first time I've seen him play for Barcelona. I didn't watch any watch any of the preseason games. I had heard a lot about him and I saw the highlights, but I was really impressed with him. And again, it started right with that, when you said, like, after 30 seconds or whatever, the pass to Braithwaite, he was involved. He was Barcelona's, I guess, I don't know if I want to say confidently best offensive player, because Braithwaite was really good. But he was certainly probably the main focal point, because Griezmann was good, but he wasn't as influential. And Griezmann actually did a lot of good things defensively, but Memphis was the guy. I guess I'll say Barcelona's performance was really good. And again, mostly, like, obviously up until 3-0. I was shocked at how bad Real Sociedad were. With the team that they have, with the talent that they have,
yeah,
with the coach that they have, who's such a great coach, tactical mind. I guess they were trying to be cautious in this, but they didn't have any of their defensive lines covered. They didn't have any of the key zones covered. So at times they would try this man-to-man high press, which wasn't bad, but also they made themselves so vulnerable defensively, and their transition offense was bad. They just couldn't pass. Like, anytime, like, Porto had a break, like, even a glimmer of hope, it was game over. Like, cause, like, eight Barca players would just swarm him and catch up to him, and he had nowhere to go, and he was by himself.
Why I liked it. That was such a positive sign for me. We didn't see that long enough, Keon. We didn't see that attitude in the second half, and that's why it allowed then Barca's opponents to get back in it. You know, and that's the exciting thing about seeing a Messi-less Barca, is that now everybody has to be committed for this, you know, high press, for the full press.
Yeah. So it was just, and I don't want to take anything away from Barcelona by saying that, because part of the reason Real Sociedad played the way they did was because of Barcelona imposing their will. So it looked good. It was a good opening weekend for Barcelona, apart from the couple goals that Real Sociedad scored in the second half, but they were obviously Barcelona saw it out. So
yeah. And I don't know if Real Sociedad has done what they've done in their preseason. You know, I don't know if this is their first game since saying goodbye in La Liga when we finished the end of May. I don't know. But it felt like, you know, Barca were coming in fitter, like you said, just more tenacious. We'll see.
I'm happy
that you were.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But No, it's like I'm happy that you, your judgment tells you that Barca played, say, collectively better or impressed you more than what you saw from Real Madrid. Because when I saw the score, it felt like Real Madrid won La Liga. It was like, I mean, there was just this euphoria of how they played and, you know, beating Alaves 4-1. And, you know, it was like, who needs Mbappe? Look at this team. We're fucking doing this. So it was like Hazard is back and, you know, Benzi doing his thing better than ever, of course. So, yeah, I was just very curious to know your thoughts on that. That's why I'm surprised that you say, yeah, for you, Barca played better as a whole.
By the way, on that note of Mbappe, who it took, I don't think you watch the same feeds as we do, obviously, but, you know, the ESPN feed over here. 59th minute when Braithwaite, I think, scores the third goal. The commentator says, Leo who? And I was like, wow, it took us 1 hour into the league to get that line. Leo who? Nice. And also, Mbappe, who reportedly met muchos tic-tacs in the past 24 hours, he's forcing his way out today, is the report. He's meeting with Al-Khelaifi. He's like, I don't want to wait till next year. Get me out now. We'll see how that goes. We'll cross that bridge when
I
we
have
get
been
there.
Reading that.
Yeah. Either that or you're actively
avoiding it. Let's fucking hope not.
You're actively avoiding
it. Let's fucking hope not.
I'm saving my lungs for that podcast, for that emergency Mbappe churros, where it's like, I'm going to be just.
Oh, you'd give priority to churros?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, wow.
I'm going to.
No, you'd
I'm
be all over managing.
Well, we'll do both. Real Madrid, here's how the story went for me.
Okay.
If we're talking about like starting the league with a bang, like imposing your will, Barcelona did that way better than Real Madrid did this weekend. It's more complicated than that. I think Alaves played a really good game against us. I want to give them a lot of credit. They were good defensively. They were really good at exploiting the space between Alaba and Lucas Vazquez. Rioja was awesome. Alaves have a good team. And I don't even think we actually played badly. I actually thought our passing was pretty good. Our movement was decent. Hazard looked pretty good. Bale looked pretty good. He was active. He was involved. He was finding space. He was shooting from distance. He was taking players on. That was encouraging. And Alaba fit like a glove, generally speaking. He seamless fit. He feels like, you know, he's been playing with us for 5 years. So all that stuff was good. And Ancelotti, like the second half, we just ripped him apart, right? And what happened in the second half was that, and Ancelotti explained this really well in the post-game press conference, where he was talking about how like Real Madrid had more intensity in the second half. And he said something, or he was pressed on about this. And he said, like, what changed in the second half? And he basically said, when Karim Benzema scored the first goal, Alaves just gave us more space. And that's the bottom line. And that's something we discussed a lot about in the Energy Madrid post-game podcast. We were kind of shocked at how easily Alaves just stopped playing football, especially after the 2-0. They just stopped defending. They were like, by the time Fede burst through and set up the third goal, I think it was, they weren't defending him. On Vinicius's, and when Vinicius came on, he was taking players on and he found his goal. Forget about it. They weren't defending him at all. So they just kind of fell apart after we opened the scoring, and it was encouraging. I like what I saw. So I'll be cautiously optimistic and just kind of analyze each game for the way it is without really getting ahead of myself or getting down on myself too much as the season progresses. I don't know.
Well, it'd be interesting to hear what Calleja would have or had to say about that. I don't know if the post-match that anybody asked him that question, because by the sound of it, what Ancelotti is doing is giving more credit, let's say, to Calleja for being playing more of a gung-ho stuff, basically forgetting about his defense and instead focusing on of getting back into it and therefore allowing the spaces.
So what Calleja said after the game was that he was basically proud of his team, but he also said, we're going to learn stuff from this game. What we're going to do is we're going to learn from our first half performance and see what all the things we did wrong in the second half and put that learning together and move forward and be optimistic about the season. And I think he also said in this post-game press conference that there were moments in the game where he felt that they were superior to Real Madrid. But they were moments in that they, you know, the second half, they did a lot of things wrong. And so that's kind of the gist of it. I didn't watch Calleja's press conference. I read the quotes. So I'm sure I missed some stuff with what he says. So I don't know exactly, but those were some of the things he said.
Why didn't, sorry, Keon, I'm asking the reason stuff, I have so many questions.
Yeah. Ask away.
Sorry, you said it, say it again.
I said he also made positive subs. Like he brought on when it was 2-0.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. How come Lucas Perez didn't play?
Yeah, I mean, this was something with him last year too. Like Lucas Perez just kind of found himself out of the rotation for whatever reason. I guess I'm surprised he didn't at least come off the bench. Now, Jose Lu, who was the striker in this game, he gave us a lot of problems. And one of the
things... He had a good game.
And one
that
of
the... penalty. It took, like, I want all my players to take penalties like that, just with conviction. That is always going to go in. Bottom corner, fucking strong as hell.
Yeah. He gave us problems. And here's an interesting thing. And something I noticed after the game was that, and something we've talked about, like, after you lose Ramos and Varane, how much you're going to suffer aerially. None of the defenders had a single aerial duel, which they won. Jose Lu had 7, and Alaves went to the flanks. And then, so like, basically, if you want to take a scouting report after this game on how to beat Real Madrid this season, it's, and this is obviously based on the most limited sample size ever, but they'll leave space behind their fullbacks. They're going to push up the field and they're going to be not as good as they were defending crosses that are coming in because they don't have Ramos and Varane in there to fend off things. Now, Militao is pretty good in the air and Nacho is decent given his height. He fights and Nacho was awesome, by the way. Nacho had an awesome game. They gave us problems. Jose Lu did as well in the air in conjunction.
It's interesting as well because all the substitutions came from the midfield upwards, right? Like
from the Alaves perspective?
Yeah, from Calleja. Calleja substituted none of his defenders despite the beating that they were receiving in the second half.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean by he made positive subs too. So at 2-0, he also reacted. Like while his teams, Alaves looked dejected at 2-0. Their body language was bad. They looked defeated. He made 2 subs instantly, brought on Guidetti, and I can't remember the other one. I don't have it open right now, but the Guidetti sub was good. And I wonder if Lucas Perez would have been a better choice there. Because Guidetti, the first touch he had, he found himself almost on a breakaway, but couldn't get there in time. And Nacho came over and got there first. And there was another situation where he's wide open in the box and shoots right at Courtois. And I wonder how Lucas Perez would have done in that situation. So Guidetti got in good spots, but he's not as technically gifted as Lucas Perez to maybe do something in those positions. So I wonder if that would have made a difference.
We got it here. Ndiaye, Mamadou came on with Guidetti.
Yeah, that's the one. So I was encouraged. I liked it.
Did you feel that it was disproportionate, the euphoria that was surrounding this win?
I don't think
I'm exaggerating here.
I don't know because I didn't see any euphoria. But
it was like
also...
el taconazo. Like I saw like el taconazo de Hazard. I was like, oh god. Again, mind you, I think it's clear. Right? I saw the highlights. Didn't watch the entire game, so there's elements that I've missed here. But reading a headline, I was like, what happened now? Oh boy. What was the taconazo of Hazard? Because that one
Hazard,
went missing.
So Hazard is famous for his flicks, right? And Hazard's flicks are like usually hit or miss. And it's like he does them on every chance he gets. Mm-hmm. If the ball is coming to him and he's doing a hold-up sequence, instead of just shielding the ball, what he loves to do is just flick it. And that flick, if it finds a teammate, it looks spectacular. And other times it just doesn't. He did one in the box where Vasquez crosses it to him in the box, low cross, and he does that flick just behind him. That's the taconazo. and it finds Benzema. So it became an assist. So it was beautiful to watch.
So I saw that. And, yeah. Okay. Okay. All
That's
right.
definitely the one they're referring to. So
I need to
look. I have this thing, Diego, where like, especially during a game, and I just don't check anything. I just look. I don't check what people are saying. I guess I analyze. I read my notes over and over again, and then we do the podcast, and I watch some film, and that's it. So I don't. I'm kind of sometimes oblivious to what people are saying. So if people are overreacting to the performance. That's kind of funny, I guess. They were good. It is what it is. It doesn't mean too much right now. Now somebody tweeted from the Churros y Tacticas account, don't let this Real Madrid get Mbappe, because that would be dangerous. So we'll see whoever tweeted that, if they get their wish or not. But
we'll see. Was it the 3-0, the 2-0? Because I'm not seeing any taconazos.
You're gonna make me pull this up. So 1-0 was 1-0 was Benzema goal. 2-0 was, I think, Nacho's goal. Wait, maybe
Nacho's he stumbled it in. No, sorry, that's the 3-0. That's Benzema's third goal. There's the Modric cross with Nacho. That was a good goal. The Modric crossing with Nacho.
Yeah, that was a nice goal. Great reach from Nacho.
It was really good. And then the Hazard the passing.
Yeah, the Hazard flick was actually the first goal. It was Benzema's opening goal. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me see.
So that was the 1-0. That play was funny too, because there was like leading up to it, there was so many misplaced passes and interceptions in Real Madrid's buildup. And then finally Bale switches it to Vasquez. Vasquez gets it to Hazard. Hazard does the flick. Benzema scores.
Wait, the flick, it looks like a miss kick.
Here we go. You know, if this was Memphis doing that.
Okay. I got it. Sorry. I see it now. Yeah. No, clearly. Okay. Yeah. Taconazo. Yeah. Toma ya. Gotcha. Beauty. I missed that. Honestly, I missed that. The whole time I thought that was a miss kick. All right.
I didn't realize that Barcelona's schedule is actually really tough for the first few games.
Yeah, it is, right? Yeah.
I mean. Real Sociedad was supposed to be really difficult too, especially like everyone, the pregame analysis was all wounded Barcelona, Real Sociedad, perfect time to pounce and all this stuff. And they just couldn't. But San Mamés' way is always going to be difficult, even if Messi is there. So that's a tough one. And that's your next game, obviously.
Exactly. Go on.
Yeah. Getafe, I mean,
and then Sevilla.
Getafe, obviously, are not what they were at their peak under Bordalas, but they will just probably kick the shit out of you guys and make it and grind it out. Grind out, even if it's a loss, they'll grind themselves out, they'll grind you as well.
It's a tough month.
Yeah, and then Sevilla. September. So, Atleti things. This was a huge talking point, the whole handball with Marcos Llorente. And this is, I don't know how I know all this, but PK's talked about it on Twitch too. I don't know how I'm ending up on PK's Twitch and stuff, but.
Because it was the talk in town.
Yeah.
It's the news everywhere.
So that's a new, that President PK, man, has got his PR down. And he even got Maradisa tuning into Twitch. Yeah, so
and he's twitching with a Madridista, with the most renowned Madridistas.
Ibai guy
is he's a Madridista.
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know, like, one of my friends.
You don't know him. He's a cultural phenomenon almost in Spain,
right?
Basically,
He plays video games. Is that what he does?
He's a commentator. He's an influence. That's how he became. He rose through his ability to commentate esports games, mainly like FIFA, I think it was. Then it crossed over to other esports and, you know, the Twitch channel, and that was his bread and butter. That was his thing.
So he's Madridista?
Yeah.
So him and PK do that together?
No. He just seems to be talking. He's like best buds with Kun Agüero. They're like this. I mean, Kun is taking him everywhere. Kun took him to Messi's house for his goodbye dinner and shit. He lives in Barcelona, the guy, actually. So, but yeah, he lives in Eto's house, or what used to be his house. That's how good this guy's doing.
He's probably raking it in, right? I mean,
he's a millionaire. He made so much money.
People like that, like even like, there are people like even in my neighborhood, just kids. Like, I don't even know how famous they are. I just know that like literally high school kids are just making hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like just from this video game Twitch stuff. And I know nothing about it. Crazy opportunities.
Very ignorant
for our generation or our parents' generation. But hey, man, it's not too late. I'm not good at video games and I probably will never get into it, but good for those guys. Where was I going with this? I guess Atletico stuff. This is a pretty solid.
The VAR. The
handball.
Yeah.
I don't know what to really discuss about it. Just that it was not a good call.
Well, it's all changed now, right? It's voluntary or involuntary handballs are no longer called penalties.
I'm losing my mind because I feel like I remember, I think it was on this podcast, we literally read through the new rules together. This was like a few weeks ago, and I already forgot what those rules were.
Well, the rule now is no handball.
No handball if it's involuntary.
Involuntary.
Yeah. So now, no matter what, it's still going to be difficult because then you have to talk about, now you have to interpret what was voluntary and what was not and stuff like that. But
yes, correct. There's still interpretation.
Just a general point about, not necessarily this case. But I will say about Atletico, mostly I'm talking about the football side things now. This was a good win for them. And it was also a good game for La Liga to open with. Not open. It wasn't the first game, but it was just a good La Liga game and a classic Atletico game where they can grind it out and get contributions from Correa. And also and Aspas
scores a goal.
Yeah. And Aspas scores. And like, I really liked the performance of Kondogbia in midfield. I just want to say that he was
excellent.
I was impressed with
him. From what I saw, he was great.
Yeah, he was really good. And I'm curious to see how this team evolves, how they'll incorporate Rodrigo de Paul, who obviously came off the bench. Once Suarez gets healthy, he didn't start this game because he was from the extended vacation and stuff like that. So he wasn't quite ready to start. But this is this is what we want, right? We want all the big teams winning. We want a title race.
Yeah. It was a great start for the league. I think opening weekend for the big teams involved, the fact that Atletico, Madrid, Barça, and Sevilla. I'm blanking on Sevilla now.
Yep.
They won. Yes, they did. Right.
3-0. Yep.
Is really positive news to get already a. This tension and you can't slip up any points to get the tension going. What was surprising for me, and again, this was a game where I had to satisfy myself or make do, let's say, with the highlights. Satisfy myself with the highlights. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, that sounds disgusting. I was not satisfying myself during the highlights. But what I meant was it was make do with the highlights. And sees Luis Suarez coming off from the bench. So, two goals scored by Correa, yes, but Carrasco obviously starting. Over Luis Suarez, even Trippier coming off of the bench. So I don't know if Diego Simeone is sort of, easing his players their way in there. If some had longer preseasons than others, but that was, I thought, noteworthy.
Yeah, well, so Carrasco playing in that role is not his strength. And I think Suarez would have started, I think, if he had a preseason. Like, because he was one of the ones arriving late.
Came late, of course, yes.
So he'll start once the season gets going. The other thing I don't love about this...
Maybe less.
Now Marcos Llorente is playing right wing back Atletico, or at least he did in this game. And... it's not his role. It's not stop doing that. I'm gonna make a petition. Like, let's not make this a thing where Marcos Llorente is just gonna be right back now because Lucho did it at the Euros and now everyone thinks he's a right back. he's better just higher up the pitch. Get him higher up the pitch. Don't like this role. But yeah, I don't think, again, to be fair, like, and you mentioned Trippier too. Trippier would have played that role and Suarez probably would have started up top and maybe Carrasco would have taken that left wing back position in which Saul played on the weekend against Celta. So probably like when those players start, you'll see it differently. I was watching Betis Mallorca on Saturday, I think it was. And this player, Rodri, caught my eye from Real Betis. First time I remember seeing him play. I don't know if I saw him last season at all. But 21-year-old kid, really good technically gifted player, kind of like that Odegaard / Kubo playing style where he's left-footed, he plays on the right, he turns quickly, he's a good dribbler, he's a good vertical passer. He's really weak on the ball. He needs to improve on that. But that him and Canales linked up well together with against Mallorca. And I actually thought it looked pretty good. So Rodri is a player I want to keep my eye on. And if listeners are interested in when they watch Real Betis, keep your eye on him too. I liked his game. Real Betis still need this. They also had a classic Real Betis game with a lot of possession and not much incisiveness and really bad defensively. So I probably expect more of that from Real Betis this season, but just an observation on them. And they need kind of more of a box-to-box presence in midfield. They have a lot of good technically gifted players who kind of play the same role. It's kind of like the Messi-Griezmann syndrome at Barca. But yeah, those are my random thoughts on Betis. Did you have anything else before I wrap it up?
I did not, my friend. All right. In fact, I have to make a run for it.
All right, make a run for it. We'll see everyone else on Friday, patreon.com/churrositacticas. Diego and I will be back over there for, as always, the more raw version, the more undercooked, and the more inappropriate jokes, and the more inside information from Diego. So thanks, guys. Thank you, Diego. Enjoy the churros. Thanks. Take care. Peace.
Peace, peace. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.